take care of yourself. So often, we find ourselves lacking in self-care because we're too busy leading our busy lives or taking care of the needs of others. But it's so important to take time to do what fills our buckets. One of my favorite proverbs is, "Physician, heal thyself," which can be taken as a little bit of a reproach, because as the Facts on File Dictionary of Proverbs says, we're supposed to take care of our own problems before we try to heal the problems of others. Or put on your own oxygen mask before you put on the oxygen masks of others. But I tend to see self-care so much more positively, because when we learn to love and take care of ourselves, it's only then that we can truly, truly love and take care of those around us. So thank you for joining me for this, another installment of my musings from the middle of nowhere. Before we start, I'd like to thank the Awkward Time Lady for giving me a little bit of background information, and the site Self-Care is for Everyone. I'm wearing one of their t-shirts today, and it's got a cat on it, and it says, "Take care of yourself." And it just reminds me every time I wear it that self-care is important. So, we begin. Take care of yourself. Self-soothing is so much different than self-care. Often, we find ourselves self-soothing after we've failed to take care of ourselves along the way. When we're a baby, all we know how to do is self-soothe. But hopefully, we have people around us who teach us how to take care of ourselves better, how to bathe ourselves, how to massage wounds. One of my favorite things when I was little was a baking soda bath. My grandmother used to give me baking soda baths or teach me to do that because I was highly allergic to mosquitoes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there is nothing I am more afraid of than a mosquito. And most people don't know that mosquitoes kill more people every year than like all other animal creatures combined. Mosquitoes are just deadly. And because I'm so highly allergic, when I was younger, you know, 45, 50 years ago, we didn't have hydrocortisone cream. And so when I would get all bitten up, I would take soda baths. And then grandma would put socks on my hands so that I did not itch myself or scratch myself. You know, I always say itch myself. Anybody else do that? Say, please itch it for me, like in the middle of my back. That's something I've always said instead of scratch. Anyway, I remember one summer I went to Camp Timberlake, and again, for some reason, we didn't even use bug spray in the 70s and 80s yet. I mean, we just didn't have it all the time. Now, my dad always kept Off in his truck and on the porch and everywhere because he was also highly allergic to mosquitoes. He hated mosquitoes so much, but I think it had to do with his time in Alaska in the army. But anyway, Camp Timberlake, I went for a week, and it was after there was a huge flood on the Platte River in Nebraska, and so the mosquitoes were terrible. But I came home from camp and my mom just looked at me and said, "Do you have the chicken pox?" I said, "No, I've never had the chicken pox." I had thousands of bites all over me. But she sent me directly to my grandma's, put me on a Greyhound bus, and shipped me to my grandma's 3 hours away. And I spent a lot of time in soda baths. But, you know, on the farm, when I'd go for runs, often bugs would fly into my mouth. And I think one of the craziest experiences I ever had with a mosquito was I got up one morning. I remember running and bugs flying in my mouth. I got up one morning and a mosquito flew out of my mouth. It had lived all night long in my nasal cavity. Like, what? But when I would go to sleep at night, if I heard a buzzing in the room, I did not go to bed until I found the mosquito. Because if I didn't find it, I would wake up with mosquito bites. And truly for me in my life, there is nothing that has been a bane of my existence more than a stinking mosquito bite. But thanks to Grandma, I would make a paste of, if I got them, I would make a paste of baking soda and water and just spread it on my mosquito bites. So that was definitely self-care. And self-care for me was trying to avoid any situation where there were mosquitoes. Even in the summers when I would have to mow the lawn, I would cover myself from head to toe. I would wear sweatshirts and pull the ties so the only thing showing was my face, and sweatpants that covered over my shoes and gloves. I'm talking in 100-degree weather because I had to take care of myself. I would get so sick that I would get fevers and all kinds of stuff. But that is definitely a one way that I have learned self-care. I have to avoid mosquitoes. But anyway, that is the original self-care was baking soda. And my grandma and my dad both believed that almost anything could be solved with baking soda or Vicks. My dad, when he would get indigestion, as he would say, when his stomach was upset, he would just drink soda water, as he called it. And for both of them, like, Vicks would solve any kind of problem. Muscle aches, we used Vicks for everything. Got sprained your ankle? Oh, Vicks. Have a cough? Spread Vicks on your chest. And my dad always had a handkerchief with him, so he would put Vicks on my chest and put a handkerchief around my neck to hold the heat in. And Vicks is one of the most soothing things that there is. So those were two things I learned early on. Self-care, baking soda, and Vicks. One thing I thoroughly believe is that we grow through what we go through. Believe it or not, that's another motto on a t-shirt at Self-Care is for Everyone. I'm telling you guys, go check out that site. They've got the best t-shirts. Anyway, pain, I believe, is beautiful. Pain is beautiful because there is so much beauty that comes from pruning. And when I was younger, I didn't understand why we cut bushes back. But we cut them back so that they can grow and renew. And one of the things about self-care is that we make sure we cut out the dead branches or the areas of our lives that are toxic. One of the things I often talk about when I do Zoom calls with kids is how important it is to cut out toxicity and not get involved in drama. And that is a huge self-care issue. And again, there are people in our lives who are mosquitoes that we have to avoid. And if we don't avoid them, we often find ourselves putting soda on them, because then we practice self-soothing if we're not careful to avoid toxic situations. I know, as I was dating, there were sometimes situations where people would just be like mosquitoes and just buzz, 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 like bug you. You can't have that kind of stuff in your life. And that's definitely self-care. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about one way that I practiced self-care. when I found myself dating every once in a while. It's very important in this modern world where we find so much dating info online. And I know that it's important to make sure you FaceTime someone, that you do a background check, even a financial background check, before you agree to meet someone. And it may seem crazy, but you need to know if someone's telling you they're a millionaire, that you make sure they are, and not just because you want the money, but to make sure they're being honest about themselves. But if I ever had any inkling that there might be some issue, I have met someone, of course, in a public place, like at a Starbucks maybe, that I knew was closed. So if I ran into them and I realized, okay, this was not a cool person, you can always say, oh, there's another Starbucks a mile down the road, I'll meet you there. And then I have like texted them a picture of my dashboard and said, oh, my car is messed up, I've got to go home, I'm sorry, maybe we can meet at another date. Now, you may think that's rude, but we have to practice self-care, which means avoiding situations that could be toxic or could be even dangerous. I don't know, like, dating has just been so weird. So I quit dating for quite some time. I went on a few, and then I said, you know what? I need to learn to love myself. Because the weird thing is, when we're dating or looking for mates, we seem to take care of ourselves, our outward physical appearance, and we forget that what's inside and who we are and how we feel is more important than anything. And we often take so much time to work on our outward beauty that we forget that what's inside is most important. So we have to take time to do things like, for me, I have two different sets of activities that I do for self-care. In the winters, I like to do things like sew, cook, draw, do lettering, any kind of crafty things, because that seems to fill my soul. My favorite thing, though, is sewing. Now, my grandma had two sewing machines, and she would always be sewing, quilts or doll clothes for me. And then she had another ancient sewing machine next to her, and she would literally just let me sew anything I wanted to. So I learned to sew doll clothes at a very early age, and I tried to return that love to my daughter when she was in grade school and really into Barbies and her dolls. There was a period where I would just make sure I sewed her an outfit every day. And it didn't take that long, but I just cut out a pattern and sew. And sewing, the rhythm and the hum of the machine, and just doing something over and over and having something accomplished when you're done. And then I would embellish each little outfit with the letter L for her name, Lucy. I loved doing that for her because it was something that my grandma taught me to do. And even my mom sewed a lot. She would sew me outfits, and she would sew outfits for my doll clothes. But I've often talked about my mom sometimes being toxic. And there's one thing I tried to do for my daughter that my mom didn't do. And she would sew things like for bazaars or church giveaways. And it, like, she'd sew maybe 5 or 6 really cute doll outfits and give them to the church. And I remember being jealous because she was making these beautiful things for other people's children. And I would say, Mom, can I have one? And she would say, no, these are going to the church kids. And I think she was trying to teach me a lesson in, giving to others. But as a little girl at 5 or 6 years old, I felt like, wait a minute, but you're not taking care of my needs. I want an outfit. And I try to be conscious of the fact that my own children need to make sure they are more important or loved by me than other people. You know, my mom seemed to be great at loving other people up, but it seems at times she forgot we were her first priority. But I guess that's why I just tried to love up my daughter as much as I could with doll clothes, because that was something that I felt like, you know, my mom didn't do for me, but my grandma did. My grandma did. Oh, Grandma Sarah, just, I mean, if there was anything, I knew she loved me. But sewing during the winter. And then during the summers, they say one of the best things to help with depression is getting outside in nature. So during the summer, I try to take long walks if I have time, but I try to get my hands in the soil. And I think one of the reasons my dad was so much happier, I think, than my mom is that he was a caretaker of the earth. He had a farm and he farmed and animal husbandry, took care of cows and horses and pigs and sheep. And I mean, we had everything, chickens, but there's something just amazing in getting your hands in the dirt and working with the earth and watching things grow and watering them and being excited about just things growing. And I may have said this before, but you know, my favorite day of the year was the day we laid out irrigation pipe. It was always the day I would get a huge tan because the mosquitoes weren't out yet when we laid irrigation pipe, so I could wear, you know, like a tank top and a pair of shorts and get a first massive sunburn. I didn't burn, but a good tan. I never burned. I don't know. Other people burn. I never burned. But I would get my tan on, and we'd get up before the sunrise, and go out, and family would lay pipe, and I usually drove the tractor until later in life. My dad, actually, the last time we laid pipe before he put in central pivots, it was just the two of us. I drove the tractor, and he was on the back and just popped the pipe out. Gosh, he had to be in his late 60s moving each one of those pipe off the trailer, and then we went back through and put them together ourselves. And I think, I mean, just being outside and being part of growing things, I can think of nothing more nourishing to the soul than being part of nature. Self-care is really different for each one of us. I mean, there are things, obviously, that are pretty universally helpful in self-care, but sometimes visiting places that have given us comfort in our lives is practicing self-care. One of my favorite places on earth is a cemetery, the Bainbridge Cemetery in Harlan County. It's a couple miles from our house, and this coming up on Memorial Day, you know, that cemetery, the corn grows around it, and I love to go there and listen to the corn whisper and remember my parents and I decorating my sister's grave and my grandparents' grave. That cemetery, the first person buried there was a Housden, and I'll be the last person buried there. I'm the youngest person who owns plots. I actually purchased 3 cemetery plots for $25 a piece. And I plan to have my ashes scattered, but that's where my tombstone will be. But that cemetery is just such a soothing place. When I was in grad school, I would actually go there to write poetry and read and get work done. We actually have a bench along the edge. I have a brother who owns 7 plots, but he's got a bench sitting there and a buggy that we visit. So it's a calming place for me, and It keeps me grounded to my past. And sometimes that's self-care, you know, remembering all of the people who have sacrificed so much for us just to be alive and to be here. Anyway, I'm going to close with reading you a couple of poems from two of my favorite poets. Don Welch was my poetry teacher in graduate school. He taught me all about truly rhythm matching our words, but he wrote a poem called Funeral at Ansley. And every time I read this poem, I'm just taken back to my favorite place, the cemetery on the farm. I write of a cemetery, of the perpetual care of buffalo grass, of kingbirds and catbirds and cottonwoods, of wild roses around headstones with their high thin stems and their tight tines and their blooms pursed in the morning. I write of old faces, of cotton hose and flowered dresses and mouths which have grown up on the weather. And I write of one woman who lies a last time in the long sun of August, uncramped by the wind which autumns each one of us, under catbirds and kingbirds and cottonwoods and the gray-green leaves of the buffalo grass. Side note about Funeral at Ansley. I include it because the alliteration in that poem just makes me smile. One thing I do for self-care is read poetry. I love poetry and I love to read it out loud. But if you listen to that poem, catbirds and kingbirds and cottonwoods, the repetitive initial sounds just punch. So that's my side note. I just love poetry. You're not getting any poetry from me today, but the other poem I'm reading is Dirt Farmer, and I think it kind of fits with what I'm talking about. William Clefcorn. I love William Clefcorn. He was just such a personality. But here's Dirt Farmer. I am a dirt farmer who dreams of poetry. Is that so strange? Is anything? I have bent myself thankfully over the heat of cow chips. When the lespesda flowers, I breathe in its blooms. The calf I winch to birth grows legs like oaks to graze on, and stuck hogs bleed for breakfasts. This morning at milking, I kissed the cow's warm flank, and she kicked the milk to froth beneath my knees. I forgave her, then cried with the cats. Now the manure is in bloom, thistles defend the driveway, and corn cobs gird the mud beneath my boots. Plotting harvests, I roam my acreage like a sweet spy. As I end this episode, I hope that I've inspired you to practice some self-care in whatever way self-care is self-care to you. Arranging flowers, planting corn, drawing, singing, even taking a walk. Self-care is important. And as I end, I hope that my middle of nowhere is somewhere close to yours. Of course, I'm adding this little tag because they don't let you put a sponsored segment in at the very end. But if any of you know anyone who would like to sponsor this podcast, let me know. And remember, check out Self-Care is for Everyone. You guys, you won't be sorry. Sending love.